B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You remember seeing this on Soul Train when you were a kid?
Now I remember this scene in Saturday Night Fever, though. This was with the DJ Monty. It's like, oh, I like those new shirts out there. I like that polyester look.
Lit dance floor? Oh man, that was a day. What was she miscast in the movie?
She's dancing, baby. She's grooving.
Get off the hair! Don't touch the hair.
You want an update from the labor negotiations happening between the NFL?
Sure.
They've hit a snag. Problems. MMQB. Here's from Burt Breer. More from Burt today.
Boy, he's busy.
He's a busy guy this time of year.
Sure is.
And then he won't work for 4 months.
See him bitching? He went to Disney World and forgot to pack sleeves. Didn't pack for the weather. Had a cold day down there. He took all shorts and short sleeves, and it was like 50 one day.
You got to go further south, Bert. That's what that comes down to.
Stupid.
Disney World. During a school vacation week.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, God. You and a half of ESPN on the Eastern Seaboard.
I'm good. I am all set with that. All good. Thank you very much. Here's what Bert writes. He says, here we are. And this one is a little different than the conflicts we've seen in the past. There aren't two sides to this fight. There are three.
Whoa. There's a third side?
Where's the third side coming in? He says, after calling around Saturday and Sunday, here are the points of view. NFL/owners. The league's feeling was that it was worth conceding on even the revenue split in order to get a deal done. The reason why is it complicated. The sooner the CBA gets done, the faster the league can move onto the broadcast deals and then monetizing gambling. So what they want is, hey, we know we have the extra playoff games. We know we have the extra game in the regular season. The deal is signed, sealed, delivered, and now we can turn around and go to the networks and say, okay, we've got more inventory for you. We've got more games to sell you. We've got expanded playoffs to sell you. But they can't do that until they have it agreed upon with the players. They can't sell those broadcast deals until they know they have them. So they got to hammer this deal out there. That's why they're pressing the players to get this done. It says they believe, simply, owners that is, they're in a sweet spot to go forward with the networks. The ratings are great and the economy is humming. He says, conversely, the fear is this won't last forever. In fact, some in the league worry in the short term about what Bernie Sanders winning the Democratic nomination might do to the stock market and how that would affect the environment to do business. If the NFL is bound for a lockout in 2021, will the money be the same? Then there's the fact that the NFL itself is bracing for the election to do damage to its ratings, as was the case in 2016. All of that has the NFL itchy to get pen to paper with networks that are eager to negotiate. They're afraid of Bernie.
And we got to do something! And we got to do it now!
Well, they're afraid of just... They're afraid of the election in general in the fall, taking eyes off the football.
And game. All of a sudden the ratings dip
huge.
Again.
Yeah, regardless of who the nominee is.
Oh, it's going to be entertaining. Either way, yes, but... Yeah, now you start talking about big money, and then you're going to take a chunk away. And whoo, yeah.
Here's an idea for NFL owners if they want to get the deal done. Get rid of your stupid gimmicks.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? We want a 17th game.
Nope.
That sound good to you guys? And we're increasing your cut of the revenue here. We're conceding on the revenue. Oh, but one caveat. We're going to cap your pay for that 17th game. What? On what planet is that going to be perceived as a fair in good faith type of deal?
And your richest, biggest stars have to take massive pay cuts that game.
Well, I was thinking about this earlier. So it's capped at $250,000.
Right. Yes.
Which is not enough for anyone making more than $4.1 million.
Well, it's great for the little guy.
It's not a.
It's not because you don't get a raise.
No, you just get paid for that game. So
it's only a reduction.
Oh,
no,
okay,
it's
so not it's like capped. The guy that's right. That's
it's
right.
Not, it's not like the guy who's making $750 a year gets a $250,000 check.
If you're making $1 million a year, you still get your game check, which would be $60,000 or whatever it is.
There's no increase.
In the middle of the road, what do they make for the preseason? Do they make preseason game checks?
During the preseason, you get weekly pay, but it's not $1,500.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. So
it's not a lot of money.
They're not robbing Peter to pay Paul. They're just robbing Peter. They're not doing it anything other than trying to get around paying them what they should get paid for his 17th game.
Right. Why don't they? I think it's a lot now. Though I think it might be like $2,700 a week. Which we say a lot.
It's 15.
For NFL players.
Like back is around 15.
Yeah. So I think it's like 27 or even maybe more than that. It goes up all the time, but. Yeah, let's just round it off. Let's say it's $3,000 a week per player. Yeah, why don't you just try and say, well, we're just going to pay you the $3,000 for that last game.
Yeah,
why don't you just go all the way?
Damn Dolphins, too. They put on these big spreads for like breakfast and lunch. And I thought it was great. Then next thing you know, you look at your checks. They're taking out $8-$13 per meal. Them bastards, without telling you. Like, I thought this was great. Free food. Load up. No, you're getting charged for it.
No, you're paying for that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
You're paying
for
that.
They charge me for that extra croissant. Can't believe it.
Egg whites. I can make egg whites at home.
Yeah.
So that is what they're now doing. They're playing games. You're going to make a killing, NFL. Your players are going to make a killing, too. Like, everyone should win here. But they can't. Their greed gets in the way. It always does. It always does.
I can't believe that. You know, they put this thing together and then they take it over to the players and they're like, okay, you got to sign this right away. Hold on a second. And I know this didn't all happen in the last couple of weeks, but haven't we all talked about for years now that the NFL Players Association is the weakest of the unions?
Yeah. Yes.
In terms of what the players get out of it, mm-hmm. what they're risking on a you know, week in and week out basis, and what they're guaranteed money wise, especially compared to baseball players. And compared to a lot of deals in basketball and even hockey for that matter. So everything else has been hammered out. Like the players are still fine with, you're still not getting any really guaranteed contracts unless you negotiate that specifically yourself. I mean, a team can.
Oh, they're not even trying. They're not getting that.
It's like so far off the radar of in terms of the realm of possibility that they won't even go for that. Instead, they are left to argue about something that shouldn't even be argued. You're going to cap the game check money? What?
And it's
how can you do that?
It's also not smart for this reason. It only impacts your best and highest paid players.
Right.
So when you go to the
your players, stars, your stars.
Guess who is
the most vocal?
The most vocal.
The most weight?
Yes, and has the most influence over the other players. Right. Oh, all the best guys?
Yeah. The ones that are required to stand at the podium and talk after games. Those guys. Yes, that's the one it's going to impact.
Oh yeah, that's a good idea. That's a way to get a deal done.
Sounds
go after
like
your
fun.
Go after your best employees, your best guys, your guys that do carry the league, and tell them we're going to cap your pay on that 17th game. Well, guess what? I'm going to tell all the other guys that it ain't worth it for them either because they make way less than I do, and they're all set with the 17th game too. It's just not a good way to get it done. Why would they agree to that? They're not going to agree to that. See, NFL got in their own way. I don't feel bad for them. And just slip that poison pill into the deal. Oh, by the way, we forgot to tell you. Oh, yeah, we're going to cap your pay on the 17th game. You are? Wait, but you're in a rush to turn around and sell the rights to the 17th game and the extra playoff games for billions of dollars to the networks? And you're capping your best player's pay. I don't think they're going to go for that, league. Nice try. I mean, hey. Can't fault you for trying.
No.
You've screwed these guys over so many times before. Why not try it again? I get it.
No, at some point that bottom falls out too. Yeah, I mean, the ratings are great, all that. And you look at some of these things too. If it's going to be a 17-game season, especially against the good teams, they're going to be like mini playoff games at the end of the year. So the ratings will be huge for them. They're going to make a ton of money off the TV networks. So give it to the damn players.
I mean, they will in that they sell it, but I don't know that the ratings are going to be that much better.
I think they'll still be good at the end of the year because people still love football, you know, especially at the end of the year.
The problem is, as Jim has pointed out before, how do you get fans to be able to see every game the way they currently do? Hardcore fans.
Yeah.
Wild card weekend. How do you ensure that they're going to be able to see everything? Going to watch 11 straight hours of football? What's the plan? What's the schedule wild card weekend?
Some that's
now?
Wood, but those no,
you're
going
to watch 11 hours on Saturday, 11 hours on Sunday, and then have another 6 to 7 hours the following Saturday and another 6 to 7 hours the following Sunday.
It's Jesus. Asking a lot.
Kids, I'll see you in February.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the three sides, NFL owners, union senior staff is one side, and players. And that's what I find sort of interesting is that the senior staff at the union, Damaris Smith, Eric Winston, all those guys, and all the lawyers who worked on this deal for the last 8 months, apparently, they've been working on this for 8 months. They believed that they had sort of made all this progress. And then the players looked at the deal and said, what have you guys been doing for 8 months? This is what you're presenting to us? You think this was good? You think you did a good job here? So players are unhappy. The top union brass and the NFL thought they had a deal, but players don't want it. At least for now, in the month of February, players are standing up for themselves. Once we get to like September, that's when they cave.
They'll cave.
That's when they cave
just
and
like
give
usual.
In.
Yep.
But if you're expecting to get a deal done now, good luck. I don't think you went the best way to get that done. Rule changes. That's another thing that's being discussed. Pass interference rule, is it going away?
Well, it was so good last year.
We've got some answers on that. We'll tell you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You remember seeing this on Soul Train when you were a kid?
No, I remember this scene in Saturday Night Fever, though. This was with the DJ Monty. It's like, oh, I like those new shirts out there. I like that polyester look.
Lit dance floor? Oh, man, that was a day.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Is the opinion of a former NFL quarterback on other sports?
I don't think it's that important as people think it is. It's not as important as you think.
Zulak and Bertrand. It's the important part of your workday on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Can't keep my hands to myself. No matter how hard I'm trying to. I want you all to myself. Your metaphorical gin and juice. So come on, give me a taste of what it's like to be next to you. Won't let one drop go to waste.
Your metaphorical. If you don't like the pass interference review this year, too bad.
Well, they must be changing it. There were so many problems, but they have to change something for 2020.
They've got 2 days of meetings that have already happened. The competition committee,
yeah,
at the combine.
Yeah.
Again, everyone meets the combine. They are not yet ready to recommend an end to the one-year experimental rule. Don't forget, when they put it in, it was, we're going to do it for the year and we'll give it a try. Here's what Mark Murphy said. He's the CEO of the Packers and he's on the committee. Overall, the results were not great. That's a good answer. Not great. It wasn't great. He said, and I think it really is putting the New York office in a very difficult position, but it's still pretty early and we're looking at different options. feels like replay is still going to be there. It says simply scrapping the rule might be a difficult sell after a season in which on-field officials struggled to make calls, which means they're going to leave it in. Give it another try. See if it works out.
Well, maybe, you know, if this is like the big convention that it sounds like, this whole combine, this, you know, unofficial official meeting of the minds down there, maybe we can send our own envoy there with a couple of suggestions. Like, all right, you're going to leave it in. How about when you review pass interference calls, if the call is wrong, you actually reverse it? That would be a start. You know, when they miss a call, or they call something that's not there, when you do go to review it, you actually change the call. Because obviously the mandate last year was to never overturn anything. How about if you allow these guys to overturn something every once in a while? That would be a step in the right direction. Actually have it mean something to challenge a pass interference call. But no, they're just going to leave it as is.
Early in the year, I knew this rule was dead. It was the Ravens Texans game. It was just blatant PI on, I think it was who's the receiver? Number 10 downfield. He got mauled. They threw the flag and they said, no, we're not overturning it. It was a non-call. It was obvious pass interference on the defender. It was a Ravens defender. I think it was against Hopkins in the end zone. And I'm like, this thing's a joke. This thing's going to be a complete joke. And it made coaches hesitate. After that non-call, they didn't reverse that. It made head coaches in this league not throw the flag. And I talked to Bill about this, too. And I said, you know, did you ever think about throwing the flag? Well, you know, it's got to be so to where you can see obvious evidence where this guy's playing through the receiver that's the only way they're going to reverse it. And he says, we can't do that. And until this trend starts as the way to the league was going to call it, you tried to train yourself as a head coach as to when you could and when you couldn't review the damn play. It's a bullcrap rule is what it is. It doesn't work, and it doesn't help. Like, tell me it's somebody that's helped. It was put in because the Saints got screwed, period.
Yes.
That's it. And you didn't use it. Like,
it was put in to prevent riots.
Yes.
That's what it is.
Yeah, but I also think that it was called the way that it was called in the regular season because they didn't want anyone to use it. It was like, we're allowing this to happen, but if you try and throw a flag,
can't be ticky-tack. But contact's
contact.
It
has to be so wildly blatant for us to actually overturn something.
No, that's
and then they changed course on that. Probably about 10 games in, they started calling it differently, and teams started actually having success throwing the flag and challenging those calls. So what's it going to be?
Yep. Then they had the guys in the booth, you know, guys like Steratore and those guys, the guy that's on Fox all the time, you know, with Aikman and those guys.
Mike Pereira.
Mike Pereira. Well, technically you could see it here, you know, as we look at it again closely in the way it's called in real time. Like, they were not on the take, but they were siding with the league on the damn thing.
There are so many automatic reviews in the sport now that if they want to change something, it should be the number of reviews you get, the number of times you can challenge something.
Yeah.
I mean, think about all the things that are reviewed now. Turnovers, touchdowns. And it's like the last 2 minutes of each half.
Yep.
Okay. So limit the number of times they can actually do it. You should only be using a challenge for something.
Was the, you got screwed because.
In addition to all the automatic challenges.
Well, we didn't have one on the Nikhil Harry, right? Out of bounds.
Correct.
That's right, because see, and that teaches you a lesson here. Like, that's why I'm not going to challenge, because I don't want to lose that challenge, or I want to have the ability late in the game on a key play to be able to pull that red flag out and throw it.
That's what it should be used for.
Yeah.
Overall, no, don't challenge something in the first. No more challenges.
Actually, getting the call right.
Fewer challenges can now be implemented.
And that's the sad part is, like, the league, when you look at it from up top, doesn't look down and say, "Hey, the guy's foot's in bounds. Just fix the call." That's the nice thing about the XFL. When, you know, I don't like personally the competition in the XFL, but it's cool to sit there and listen to the referees have discussions with people upstairs.
Sky Judge.
Yeah, guys, here's what we're going to do. We're going to move the ball back on a 3.5 because he's obviously short of the first down here. So the clock will be at 3:24. I want you to reset it, second down and 8.
Right. Like, you can even take it out of the hands.
This is great.
Of the coaches and just say, you know what? No challenges. There will be an official
that.
Who watches it from New York, and he can stop the game and tell the refs in their headset, in their ear at any time, what they must then go do.
Yeah.
Done. And then if there's an issue, something doesn't get reviewed, you know who to blame.
That's what they do in college.
Yeah.
But in the NFL, they can't do it the way they have it currently set up with one guy doing it, two guys doing all the calls.
Well, it costs so much money.
You can't have that. You got to have an official for every game.
Yeah.
Put an official back in New York.
Now you need another sandwich platter, you know, another room, another hotel. Yeah.
Man, there is a massive production going on outside this window of our studio.
For those two guys.
I need a curtain to the hallway over here.
Holy crap. Yep. For who is it, Felger Maz?
Yeah.
I don't know what it's for.
Apparently, they're going to be in a documentary of sorts.
Is it done at Chara?
Are we allowed to say?
I don't know. Chara? Yeah, sure. Chara documentary?
Yeah. It's a.
Yeah. I just said it. So
worthwhile subject.
I'm like, you better get some makeup for Maz's forehead.
Something along the lines of what? Like a Brady TB12 type of thing?
Too young. Dude, you did that day. Too young.
And they're putting something together for Char.
Yeah. They're pretty good at what they do, this crew.
And Felger and Maz are in it.
Very good.
But, man, they have brought a lot of equipment here. Woo. Quite a bit.
I like those, like, onion ball lights. You know, just puts a nice little tone out there.
I would say he's right. It does look like an onion.
Like a cocktail onion?
No, like those pearlized onions. It's like an overgrown, like, pearlized onion on steroids.
Oh, yeah. I see what you mean.
Yeah.
Mm. Now you know what he's talking about.
Yeah, now I can see it.
Todd's in Shrewsbury. Todd.
Hey, guys.
What's up? Hi, Todd.
I just wanted, first time caller, I wanted to talk a little bit about the CBA and maybe have you think about it in a little bit different way. Not that I'm a owner's fan or anything, but when you talk about the 17th game and the game check that's associated with it, I'm looking at it and saying the players are going to get, if there's more revenue by billions, as you said, isn't that larger percentage of that revenue that's going to go towards the salary cap and to those players ultimately going to make their overall salaries go up? And regardless of, I don't know why the owner set it up to have that cap on the 17th game, but whether or not they get it in the 17th game or they get it spread out over the remaining 16, they're still going to get that incremental money that's going to come from the benefit of the 17th game.
Yeah, once they get a new contract, not under their current deals.
Is that true, Mark?
Yes.
So they're not. The other players don't get the benefit.
So you would think that like the equitable thing to do is, hey, if you get a game check based on your current deal, say you make $16 million a year and you get $1 million a week, you would think with a 17 game schedule, well, the guy who's getting 16, you should get an additional million a year,
right?
But that's not going to happen. If you don't have a new contract, you're still going to make what you used to make, and for you to get paid something for that final game, they're going to cap it at 250. Which doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, that doesn't make sense. I thought the players would have a chance when the new CBA came in place. They'd have a chance to. So where does all that new money that's created? It all that money waits to get distributed until all the contracts get redone.
Well, what will happen is it's not every contract because every year there are free agents, and you will have to meet a certain requirement of what you're spending. And so guys that are currently coming up, as the cap gradually expands, there'll be the opportunity for more money to be made in the league. It will happen eventually. But the guys who are currently the highest paid, best, and most influential players in the league stand to lose the most with a 17-game schedule financially. How does that make any sense to get a deal done?
Your stars.
I'm sorry.
The ones you want to carry the game and be the face of the game.
Unless your contract's coming up in a year. And you're going to benefit because when you go to get a new deal with the revenues up, that will eventually happen. That is true. It just is not going to be immediate for a bunch of guys who are currently under contract, especially quarterbacks who have deals that are very lengthy in nature. Got headlines coming up. 617-779-0985 is a telephone number. The Combine has been going on, and we've got to get to some Combine chatter. So, how big are your hands?
Big. Get the ruler out, Jim. What's this? An 8x?
We'll find out next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
In the office.
It's like a sweater without nipple covers.
In the car.
You smell bacon?
In the truck.
I'm definitely not stupid, Harvey.
Getting you through your work day on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
With a little love and some tenderness, we'll walk upon the water, we'll rise above.
A lot of talk about hands at the combine. Big hands, small hands, quarterback hands.
Lots of small hands.
How big your hands got to be to play the guitar? Is that helpful to be have smaller hands, right?
No, it's helpful with big hands.
Strings, right?
Yeah, you got big hands. It helps.
So Hootie's got big hands.
I don't know that he does.
Cowboy now.
He might. So Joe Burrow has tiny hands. 9 inches. 9-inch hands.
Little meat cleavers.
Yep. How do you feel about 9-inch hands?
I like 9-inch nails, but I
was going to say, 9-inch hands could be a band name. 9-inch hands.
9-inch hands. Meat. Hashtag meat.
Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow has small hands. And therefore, he joked on Twitter that he was going to retire, and he's asking for everyone's thoughts and prayers.
So that means someone had a wise-ass comment to him down there. See, this kid's a little prickly, which I like, and he tells you what he thinks. So someone, once he got his hand measurement, said, wow, Joe, you got small hands.
Joe Burrow's tweet said, considering retirement after I was informed, the football will be slipping out of my tiny hands. Please keep me in your thoughts.
We measure penis
hands. That's a great tweet. Come on.
It's very funny.
Got to give it to him.
It's very funny.
I was thinking about being done with football. Turns out he does not have the smallest hands in the draft. Jake Fromm comes in with the smallest hands.
Huh.
Not even 9 inches, his hands.
He's got little guy stuff.
Hmm. That's interesting.
So you see Reese at the bar holding his beer glass with two hands.
I'm just curious how this all compares to what we've seen here at the Combine. We have some Combine statistics that I've been handed here. From what year? 92.
1991.
91. Scott Zolak.
Yeah.
Maryland.
University of Maryland.
Quarterback Maryland, 91.
Mm.
Here we go. Some measurements for you. 77 inches tall.
That's a big boy.
222 pounds.
Ooh, light. I starved myself that night for weighing.
Arm length, 32.5 inches.
A little bigger than that.
A little bigger than that?
Yeah.
Yeah, you sure? I mean, they measured. Or measured, in your case.
BMI, 26.96, almost 27 on the BMI. I think that makes you legally obese. Even at 222 pounds.
I guess much more statistically better than Brady.
Well, we'll get to that in a moment. Hand size, 10 and a half inches were your hands. We just took a measurement.
Yep.
We got the ruler.
We measured it.
He's between 10 and a quarter and 10 and three eighths right now. So his hands have shrunk a little bit.
At least an eighth of an inch.
Well, I had a mangled net garage door thing.
Maybe that's true.
Yeah.
Plus, you've got a big cut on the back one right now. What's that from?
I got this during the show yesterday. I don't know where it came from. Because we had that meeting.
Workman's comp.
We had a meeting. And I was looking at you guys. We had a meeting after
He's going to need a few days off for that.
And needed 17 stitches for a laceration to the back of his hand.
We had a meeting with our program
during
director.
The show
Origins
yesterday.
Origins unknown.
I'm pumping his hand sanitizer. He's got a big gallon of hand sanitizer. He must have went to BJ's or something. And I'm rubbing it. And I'm like, ooh. Back of my hands burning. I look and I got this cut on the back.
And don't know how.
I probably got a cut down here or something. It's probably Dennis's fault.
I measured my hands. Zoe helped me do it. He showed me how to do it. Yep. 9.5 inches. So, Hardy, your turn.
Yeah, pass careful. That about I don't
that. Want to throw that. How do you know? So, you're close to Brady then.
From here to here?
9.5 inch. Oh, Brady's were 9.38. So, I have bigger hands than Brady. That's exciting.
So, by the way, the NFL right now, the biggest hands are Dak Prescott, 10.88. So, Zoe would have the...
Wow!
Yeah.
That's a big hand.
So what was his percentile on the sheet? I think it was like 95th percentile of hand size.
I'm at 9.25.
9.25. Healthy size hand?
I guess.
Nothing to be ashamed of?
I mean, it's not 10.38.
I don't see where the percent... This is a lot of data you guys threw at me here. Well, here we go.
What more do we have?
Here we go. A percentile for quarterbacks. hand size is in the 94.5 or 95th, we'll say, percentile. We'll round that up. Arm length is in the 70th percentile. Your 40 time was 5.01.
Slow track.
You ran a 5-second 40, and that puts you in the 24th percentile among quarterbacks.
Not that fast.
One of the slower quarterbacks that year. I like how they have your 20 and your 10-yard time as well.
Yeah, shuttles.
Splits.
Yep.
Yeah. 2.93 seconds in the 20. That puts you in the 17th percentile.
Or tractions
and
for that.
I think the 10-yard one, you were in the 10th percentile.
Yeah, I'm good once you get going.
Yeah, you got to get up and get going.
I'm not good out of the gate.
Among the slowest ever.
Never been a fast
in terms of a 10-yard split.
Don't say that, Hunter.
It says one of slowest ever.
They've got an overall rating here. This is from some sort of scouting service.
Yeah.
The overall rating at the time was a 30 out of 100. They gave you an 80 out of 100 on size. Mm. They gave you a good rating on size.
Well, he's big.
Your speed score was 20 out of 100.
Mm-hmm.
Agility, 41 out of 100. It's agile, a little bit more agile than speed.
Cat-like.
Quickness and strength, it says not available. Why not?
I benched.
It didn't have numbers
for bench. It says bench, not available.
Huh.
It does not have your bench.
I benched.
It doesn't have your 3-cone.
I did a cone drill.
Doesn't have your broad jump, and we know how you cheated on that.
Vertical, doesn't have broad jump.
There's no woman laying down jumping.
No, you cheat on the vertical, not on the broad jump.
What did I say?
I cheated on the vertical.
You cheat on
sorry.
Yeah, cheats on the vertical.
The vertical.
Doesn't have Wonderlic either.
How do you cheat on the, you don't reach up as high?
No, you have two pairs of shoes, okay? So you go through, what you do is you go through a group of like 25 guys, because there's over like 300 people to combine. So you bring in 25 guys, and you got to stretch. And they get your first measurement. So they take that down. So what I do is I had my first pair of shoes on, and I had a scalpel, and I totally carved out the inside of the shoe to where my foot in the back of my heel was literally on the ground.
Can I quick question?
Yeah.
Quick question. Where'd you get a scalpel?
Right. Nurse's office.
Medical supply warehouse on the way to the combine?
I did it home.
Oh, yeah. Oh, you had a scalpel at home.
I brought a couple pairs of shoes with me.
All right.
So it did that, and then you go through when you're going for your vertical, and I put on my my big Nike Airs at the time, the big cushion, and I had a couple foot razors in there, like little man foot razors, you know, the pads.
I understand.
Dr. Scholl's pads.
Right.
And it's like, wow, I'm really walking out. So I already gave myself like 2 inches almost.
You were lifting.
Yeah, lifted myself.
It's good.
It's pretty good. Got me over 30.
I'm looking at Brady's rating. They gave you a 30 out of 100. They gave Brady a 12 out of 100. Fitting. Yeah. TB12. He got a 12.
Not 12.
That's why he wears 12. So your measurables were better than Brady.
Yeah.
You had a better vertical by 6 inches. You had a bigger hand. What was your Wonderlic score? Do you remember? You had a better 20 time, a better 40 time.
It was up there.
Brady had a better 10, though.
He had a better 10. He was good. He was better out of the gate. We have to look that up.
I was in the 30s.
We'll look that up. We'll get your Wonderlic score, and also we'll talk to Dan Shaughnessy from spring training. That's coming up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
First, our introduction.
Zolak. Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I watched this last night. Not last night, the other night.
It was on AMC, wasn't it?
Yeah, Goodfellas.
I've got a little cable issue going on right now.
Oh, boy.
They're coming tomorrow. They'll fix it. It's been going on for like 2 years.
Watch Sean Connery's submarine movie last night.
They're well aware of the issues. But I have been without AMC for days now. And it became an issue last night and the night before because Better Call Saul is back.
Huh.
and I had to. I streamed it. I streamed it on the app.
Carbone was frozen so solid they had to let him thaw for 2 days before the coroner could do an autopsy. Frankie Carbone.
Morgan Freeman in Goodfellas?
No, don't start.
What you started doing the Ray Liotta? You started doing the Ray Liotta voiceover as Morgan Freeman.
Yep.
Did that not just happen?
It did happen again. Jesus. What if Morgan Freeman?
I can't watch Goodfellas though, edited. I can't do it. Can't.
I don't know the last time I even tried.
Like, yeah, it's on AMC. It's like, I'll watch for a couple minutes. But once we start really editing things, I'm like, I can't do it.
See, on IFC, they don't edit.
I know.
But they do on AMC?
Here's a problem. They do on AMC.
I can't. I would.
They play those edited versions.
Yeah.
Here's something I discovered this morning. Mm. The intern doesn't know what Goodfellas is.
What do you mean he doesn't know?
Doesn't know. He does not know.
Tyler?
We talked about it before the show. We're the sound that we're going to play from Mark Teixeira. He said, what is that?
Do you know what he asked me?
Show?
He said, is that a show or is that a movie? What is it? What is it? I said, I don't know that I can respect anything you say.
Okay, I'm trying to wrap my head around why this could be the case. Tyler, how old are you?
He's 21. I already know the answer.
And Goodfellas came out in?
1990, I believe.
My 9-year-olds watch Goodfellas with me.
1990. And he was born in
after that.
That doesn't matter.
Oh, listen, 102 Red Sox games a year times 4.5 hours. That's a lot of time. You can't watch movies. Plus preseason, spring training games.
I mean, it would be one thing if a 21-year-old said, I've never seen that, but at least had heard of it.
And he works with Big Nate, who's a big movie guy.
Right, movie
you would
guy.
Think that would have come up in discussion at some point.
Joker.
Movie guy, Big Nate.
I'm just trying to be fair. A movie came out 9 years before he was born. So for Zoe, that would be like talking about,
okay,
I don't know, Beach Blanket Bingo.
I've something watched that.
Something that came out in the 50s.
One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. Casablanca. I've
no,
watched
those.
Those
all came out. One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest came out,
right?
Well after you were born,
a
couple
me.
Few years at least.
Hit me. Yeah.
But a movie that comes out 10 years before you were born, are you expected to know that? We're getting old, guys.
Yeah, I guess so. But that's a classic.
It's a classic.
Different.
How old were you before you watched The Godfather? Not Beetle.
Okay,
he's an old soul.
Question.
He's weird.
That's a good question.
I was going to say, like, that would be like me saying I'd never heard of The Godfather.
Godfather was
age 21.
In fairness,
I just
asked him if he's seen Major League. He said no. That's a baseball movie that era.
You got to see that,
Jesus
dude.
Christ.
He hasn't seen The Sandlot.
Oh, God. Get out of here now.
Do you not watch anything? Maybe you're just not someone who's into anything.
Do you know what I asked him today? I was breaking his balls.
I'm going to start criticizing his parents.
Because he's Mr. Baseball.
You're going to show your kids these movies.
Mr. Baseball, who knows everything about baseball, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Baseball knows everything. I go, what'd you think of Ortiz's take on Verdugo? Oh, like when he popped.
Yeah.
I totally agree with him. You know, it's.
Honestly, we know your photograph, too. Speaking of Ortiz.
Oh, this kid's
Mark Teixeira. This is why we bring up Goodfellas. Mark Teixeira on Ortiz calling Mike Fiers is a snitch.
Players that are clean, whether it's during the steroid era or anybody that wasn't on the Astros, they want these guys outed. They want the Astros punished. And so for David Ortiz or Pedro Martinez or anybody, interesting that it's two Boston players, and Boston is actually a part of this investigation as well. So I think there's some, you know, meaning behind what the two Red Sox players are saying. I just think that there are very few people out there that really even use the word snitch and rat anymore anyway. Like, this isn't Goodfellas. This is the real world. In the real world, you want bad things brought to light. You don't want cheating, whether it's in sports or in corporate America. You don't want people breaking the law. And so Mike Fiers, it took a lot of guts for him to come out, and I applaud him for doing that.
I was not even aware of Pedro having slammed Mike Fiers the way that David Ortiz did, and Pedro fully did. He went all in on Mike Fiers the same way Ortiz did. They both look horrible for it. It's a bad look. It's a really bad look, especially for Pedro. Like, so Pedro, if everyone knew exactly what you were about to throw when you were pitching, knowing, and he was so good, maybe it wouldn't have mattered, but if everyone knew exactly what you were throwing, that wouldn't piss you off. You would sit there and take that as clubhouse code, the man code of the clubhouse? Come on. I don't buy that. I'm sorry. I think they're on the wrong path to be going after Mike Fiers, who's the one guy who put his name to it. Who put his name to it, and you know who he is, and you know what his claim is, and you know that he was right. He wasn't lying. He's the guy who's interested in the truth in all of this. He didn't lie about it. And his name's out there. So I think they're wrong. Good for Mark Teixeira, by the way. Yeah. Teixeira's never short on opinions.
It was good.
He was on those Yankees teams too, right?
Yep. He was.
Sure was.
What does that mean?
From Teixeira.
Meaning what?
The teams with Beltran on them?
What was his last year? What was Teixeira's last year?
2016.
Well, he broke down. He got hurt.
He was there still in 2016.
Really?
I feel like he's been out of the game longer.
Yeah.
No, that was an 8-year deal he signed with them in like 2008, right?
I guess so. I mean, I don't remember.
Feels like he's been out over 5 years.
Yeah, he did. He played in 116 games in 2016.
Jesus.
Wow, he was still hanging on. Didn't
see anything going on. Saw nothing.
What year was Beltran there?
He was there, and then he left, and he came back.
All right.
He was there before the Astros.
So maybe he missed it the first time.
So he said the way the story is sort of gone, that he learned much of it in New York, right?
Right.
So, yeah, maybe Teixeira does know something. I mean, do we think this was happening 5 years ago? Not banging on a trash barrel.
No, not to that extent.
That wasn't happening.
That started when Cora did it 2 years ago. He's the ringleader, right?
I mean, when did the video replay rooms go in? When did the first one go in?
They've been there for a while.
I mean, I know video replay's been around for a while, but before they put the rooms down by the clubhouse.
2014, according to this.
14, okay. So, yeah, it could have been unearthed at that time. Yeah, what does Teixeira know? Please.
Good point.
Fill us in. Fill us in. But you know what? Why are we asking what Mark Teixeira knows? Why are we not asking what David Ortiz knows or what Pedro knows? They both are still employed by the team. The team has been implicated and is being investigated. So what do they know? What do they know about what's been going on in Boston? And why will neither of them talk about Alex Cora, their buddy Alex Cora? Why are they so afraid to touch that third rail? Come on, go for it, guys. Tell us what you think about the manager. Ortiz especially. Manfred's doing a great job. If that's true, therefore, Alex Cora, man, guilty of sin. That's really, it's an uncomfortable spot for David Ortiz to be in.
Well, that's what we talked about yesterday. Yeah. It's like, how do you end up serving both sides on this one?
You can't.
Not on this one.
Not without being a total fraud.
Unless.
Bought and paid for.
That punishment comes down and it is really, really light on the Red Sox. I mean, if it comes down and it is like, well, it turns out they weren't doing anything.
Well, I'm sure that's exactly what's going to happen with all this investigating that's going on. Because they are taking their sweet time in getting to the bottom of it. Are they not?
Yeah.
Yep. The Red Sox were really displaying a lot of confidence privately, off the record, not putting their name to it in the last few weeks. We'll see if that comes to fruition. Shaughnessy blew us off, by the way.
Yeah, typical.
He was waiting on a guy.
How's that typical?
I don't know what
when's the last time he blew us off?
He never blows us off. Dan will always, I got to go. I got to take this call or something.
I got to go.
Yep. Working on a story.
I mean, he could have at least given us a heads up.
Bert does that too.
But we called him and he's like, nope, sorry, can't.
I'll call you back later if I can.
Yeah, can't do it.
Yeah, we'll adjust it, Dan. Don't worry.
Way to go. All right. So that's what we have for you. No Shaughnessy. Thanks for trying. Celtics, are they a championship team? Let's talk about that. Also, Brad Stevens set to join us at 12:20 today.
Ooh.
Yeah, a little bit. We moved him around this week. He needed to move around. We wanted to accommodate his schedule. And so Brad Stevens at 12:20. Did you hear? By the way, did you hear him with Jones last week?
I did not.
You didn't hear it?
He sent the audio, the clip of it.
And you didn't listen to it?
Yeah.
So you did.
So you heard it.
I did what Tom sent. Yeah, but I didn't hear it live.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right then. Brad Stevens at 12:20.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.